It's Monday, October 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't I got a great show for you? And yes, just got back from, got in Texas from Vegas. And wow, what a week in Vegas. It was really great. Hey, I got some great stuff to share with you tonight. Just a few of the articles on tap are the Hulu hack, talking about Hypermac getting smacked down by Apple. I'm going to talk about Ozzy calling it quits. And no, I'm not talking about Ozzy Osbourne. And also talk to us a little bit about the IP well running dry. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Hello and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome you and be sure to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, we're live today from Central Texas and on the road show, not in Honolulu. So everything is great in Honolulu, but I'll be here in Texas for two shows. So I've got a lot to share with you tonight. Of course, I want to welcome all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family, of course. And, of course, if you are new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Check out the archive podcast list. As I'm looking here at the control center, I'm seeing that the folks at Ustream are saying, your recording has failed. That's always something to have a warm fuzzy on when you've just started to start the show. But no worries, the show is being recorded. Hey, if you're a new listener and or one of our listeners from 178 countries worldwide, what you want to do is you want to get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight. It's delivered immediately following the show. I email it out, and the best thing about it is when you listen to the content later, you can go through and pick out those articles that you want to get more information on. So it's important that you get subscribed to that. That's your direct link to the show and staying up to date what's going on here. Additionally, you'll see a place at geeknewscentral.com where you can actually subscribe to the show. Subscribing to the show guarantees that it'll be downloaded in your inbox or in your mobile device. Really, as soon as I put it up, as soon as you go and sync up your data, it'll actually pull down and you'll get the show delivered automatically. Hey, if you're watching tonight, we're up on Ustream. Those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with me here this evening. It's early. Normally I do this in the middle of the night. And so those of you that are awake at a more reasonable hour, thanks for joining me here. Well, I tell you, it's been a crazy, well, not really crazy, just busy. You know, I left for Vegas Tuesday night. I got in Wednesday morning. Things started right away with a number of meetings, and really, between meetings, the show, presentations, things did not slow down for a second to about Saturday at about 11 o'clock was in the evening is when things kind of, I went, I could take a breath. And matter of fact, my lovely wife, she called me like, are you okay? You're going to come up for air? You haven't called home in a couple of days. And I said, yeah, I'm doing good. Everything's just been nuts here. I spent yesterday kind of recuperating. Vegas just has a tendency to really suck the life out of you. It really, really does. And it's just, you know, that's the way Vegas is. It's no different than any other time that I've been in Vegas. But the show was good, really was. We had a lot of positive feedback. Of course, we are showing off our Samsung Internet Connected TV app that is going to be released next month. We're showing off our Vudu app, showing off the new Roku app. For those of you that have the Tech Podcast or Blueberry channel loaded in your Roku, you will know that there is a new function in the app now. The MyCast portion, the MyCast functionality has been added. So now you can subscribe to shows within the Roku or over on one of the websites, and you'll have that playlist there. So the ability to have a playlist in the Roku now from our apps is embedded and live. So definitely check that out. Make sure you mark up your most favorite shows to have in your MyCast. That way you won't have to search for them every time you load the channel in the Roku. So we're excited to show that off along with everything else that was going on. My session, basically the show that I did on the session I did on Triple Play, talked about really streaming, podcasting, and blogging. It was about 36 minutes and 68 slides, and then about 20 minutes of questions from the audience. I have it all recorded. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to release that recording as part of my Insider. And actually, I had one of you that are insiders, one of the Geekness Center insiders, email me today and say, "Hey, Todd, I'm subscribed, but I haven't gotten any insiders." Well, I haven't done one in a little while, so I'm going to use that. You guys can get my full presentation, and it'll be available. I'll have that up for you probably in the next couple of days, along with the slides you can look through. It's pretty cool. I really hit one out of the ballpark. I was really pleased with the response and the feedback I got from Buddy. It made a lot of sense. But again, I think there was about 80 to 100 people in the session, which was terrific. Had a full house. So the team did a great job. Booth looked beautiful. If you're following on Twitter, you saw some of the pictures of the booth. We stayed busy for the most part the entire time. Of the show. Show hours were kind of weird. The show floor opened at 10:30, closed at 5, and the second day was from 10:30 to 3:30. So relatively short show hours, and you're competing with the same time with the sessions and the keynotes. So I'm hoping in future years they'll open a little earlier. And actually on Thursday, we could have had the booth open on Thursday and would have had as many people through Thursday as we did Friday and Saturday. So it made it a challenge for some of the participants to get out of sessions and into the halls and have great, you know, lengthy discussions with the vendors. But overall, we walked away with a large number of business prospects. So overall, pretty good show. But I'm glad to be out of Vegas, to be honest with you. And I'll probably spend a couple of days more recuperating just because, man, I don't. What is it? It's when you go to Vegas, doesn't it just drain you? I think it's a constant barrage of the casino noise and the people and the, you know, dryness in the air. Although we did have one heck of a light show yesterday evening. There was a lightning and rain. I've never really seen it rain in Vegas, so that was kind of cool. But other than that, that's all that was going on in Blog World. Talk more about it later. I'll have some links up in the show for you from some other people's perspectives. So that'll give you some more insight to Blog World and New Media Expo. The only thing that was kind of a drag is the day I arrived in Vegas, I pulled my computer out of the bag. I set it up, opened the back of my bag to pull my power supply out. No power supply. Oh, that's nice. What am I going to do? So I overnighted a power supply from Dell to the hotel, and the one they sent me as a replacement was a 65-watt one, not a 90-watt one, so my computer's running a little slower than normal because it's not getting all the juice it needs, so I'll have an extra power supply now for my computer. And this trip, I forgot so much stuff. I obviously need to go back to using a checklist because, you know, left it without a toothbrush, left without a brush, just all whole assortment of stuff, and it's I can tell you my mind was obviously somewhere else and not in packing. So anyway, we got the power supply and everything was cool. Hey, we're going to be doing this coming Saturday, I'm going to do a morning tech show, and of course we didn't do one this previous Saturday because of being in Vegas, so I have yet to select the guest, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to try to pull in Rob Greenlee from Zune. He was at Blog World. I'll probably pull in Andy McCaskey from SDR News if they're available to join me this coming Saturday. We'll probably talk all about the things we saw and heard at Blog World. So we'll keep you advised on that, and I'll talk about it on the next show. Yeah, I have decided to go ahead and move forward with the 2010 Podcast Awards. I had enough feedback from content creators at the show, guys that were willing to say, hey, I'll take my name and my show out of the running. I'll give you any help that you need. So I'm thinking we're going to go ahead and push, and I may have a schedule up tomorrow. If everything goes well, I'll get back to the hotel after meetings, and I'll get the dates announced when we're going to start taking doing voting. But I can't imagine starting voting any later than November 5th. Going to do things just a little different this year, just as a way to save time. All of you that have volunteered to help out with the review of the nominated shows, be advised that is going to be coming, and we are going to move forward with that. So if you're still interested in helping, well, I'm going to be sending all of you an email, first of all, letting you know what's going on. But if you haven't volunteered yet and want to volunteer, we could still use some more volunteers. We'll be bringing in some other listeners from other shows as well to help them have them help in the review process. So I guess that's it, really, for what's going on here, you know, over the last week. I can probably talk a lot more about Blog World in the future. Just, you know, right at this time, I'm trying to decompress a little bit. But I did have some good conversations on potential sponsors for CES. We may have actually confirmed our first CES sponsor, so I just need to get a contract signed to get that locked in. So we're crossing our fingers here that that is the case, and then we'll just continue on and work the sponsors throughout the remaining end of the quarter here, and getting ready for the big show and starting in January. Okay, let's take care of a little business here, then we'll get into the regular content. I got an email from one of you. Actually, I'll review it later in the show when we go into listener comments, that saved a bunch of money by using one of my codes at GoDaddy. At the same time, I got an email from one of the listeners saying, hey, Todd, your code didn't work. So here's the thing to remember, folks. If you're renewing domains that are .net, .anything but .coms on renewals, generally the codes do not work, okay, on a renewal of anything other than .coms. If you've got a .com that you're renewing, you can still use the comsale code to renew the domain. So far as saving percentages off on renewals, they don't give you as big a, they don't give you a discount on renewals of existing .com products. Now you can renew a server or a hosting account and still use my promo codes and still save a lot of money. So be aware of that as you are getting to the checkout counter. But, you know, GoDaddy has really been a longtime superior sponsor here. They've really helped me be able to do what I do, keep the family fed, and I love their products and services. GeekNewsCentral.com runs on a GoDaddy server that I pay for, along with a number of other sites that we have at Raw Voice. And just exceptional. Very rarely do I have to call tech support, and when I do, the tech support has been exceptional. Has really helped me out and did what I needed to do. I actually renewed a server recently, too long of a period. We were actually going to move one server off. Actually, we were getting ready to retire a server and then bring up another one with a new processor. You know, basically upgrade it a little bit, and they were able to credit me 11 months of service and be able to just go month to month with that server while we were getting ready to replace it. Didn't know that was even possible, and they did it. But if you're looking for good codes to use at GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find all the codes there for the to save you a lot of money at GoDaddy.com. Okay, as well, you guys know that I live, breathe daily. Actually, last week was probably the fewest days that I have used GoToMeeting in a long time, largely because I wasn't in my room or wasn't working from the office or anything. But I can see where, with this economy, with things going on, how GoToMeeting can save you a lot of money. You know, companies of all sizes must find ways to cut costs. And that's why I recommend a web conferencing solution for your business that helps improve overall business communications and efficiencies, not to mention really helps the global economy, because the easiest and most affordable product is GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix, the ability to have online meetings, do demonstrations, whether you're at home or on the road, and it's all online. You can improve conference calls by collaborating in real time by sharing your screens. GoToMeeting is the best way to increase your productivity and cut costs. You know that I've used GoToMeeting for years. It's great. It works. It never breaks. It's just there. It's bam, day after day. So as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's 45, okay? That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and use the promo code PODCAST for this special 45-day free trial. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and get you right into the regular content tonight. And actually, I can close that browser. Can go away. Save a few resources on the computer. Load Chrome here. All right, talked about in the beginning of the show how essentially there's a Hulu hack out there. And this is for those of you that have started to receive your Google TV. Well, it turns out that in default mode with that Logitech review or the new Sony's Internet TV line, that it's pretty hard to access the Hulu content. But it turns out you can easily switch the browser user agent from the advanced, which is advanced, to default generic, which will do the trick to access content from Hulu.com. And basically, in the settings, you change it from advanced to generic. And what that does is that basically kind of hides the browser type from Hulu. So this is no need to wait for Hulu Plus on the for a Google TV app. You can get on right now and with Google TV. It's pretty cool. So the folks over at ehomeupgrade.com have the basically a screen you need to go to change that. And actually was able to get a demo of Google TV at the Sony kiosk, or actually the Sony booth that they had at Blog World and New Media Expo, and was actually able to play with Apple TV for quite a bit. The only thing I didn't like about the Sony Google TV experience was the keyboard. Keyboard was really, I think the buttons were just a little bit too small. It was funny how you held the remote, and that was my really only complaint with that that remote control was the keyboard. So we'll see how other people react to it when they get it in their hands. But it was kind of nice to sit there and play with it for a little bit. And I think you guys are going to like that. If you pick up a new Sony TV, you're going to just like the functionality built right into the set. Now, the folks over at Netflix, boy, oh boy, they've been busy. And, of course, over the last couple of days, you all probably heard the news, but Netflix is now disc-free available in the Wii Shop channels. In other words, if you have a Wii, go to the to the Wii Shop channel, look for Netflix, you can add it, and no longer do you need to do stick a disc in to do streaming on your Wii. Now, the same thing goes for the PlayStation 3 as well. So the Netflix update is hitting boxes across the United States, so you can say goodbye to disc on the PlayStation as well. Of course, you haven't heard anything about Netflix discless on the Xbox 360, have you? No, that's the golden egg that, or the golden goose that keeps laying the golden egg, or whatever it is, the goose that keeps laying the golden egg. Xbox is probably going to be the last frontier that they're going to be able to get in, and it's just, you know, I'm sure it's a money situation. But anyway, we'll see how that works out. All right, if you're a Verizon customer, Verizon's tiered data plans are hitting on October 28th. And smartphones are still getting an unlimited option, it looks like. It's not guaranteed, but if you have anything other than a smartphone, though, boy, oh boy, it's going to be crazy. You know that they announced the MiFi-equipped iPad. There'll be a $20, $35, and $50 tablet plans for 1 gig, 3 gig, or 5 gigs, respectively, with all overage charges of $10 per gig. There'll also be an $80 plan for 10 gigabits with the same overage rate. I haven't went over my 2 gig limit on my iPad yet, so we'll see how that turns out. But looks like you'll be looking at $35 for a 3-gig plan or $20 for a 1-gig. So more expensive than Apple, for sure. Only time will tell if that pricing will hold. There is additional phones and services that are going to be coming out. If you have a USB modem, pricing remains unchanged at $39.99 for 250 megs or $59.99 for 5 gigs per month. And so it looks to me, based on all these other plans that are being rolled out, that Verizon is trying, it looks like, discouraging people from going the USB route. It looks like going the MiFi way, you know, basically having a MiFi device, is really a lot cheaper. But only time will tell how this goes, how the pricing goes. So we'll keep you advised on that. I'll have a link to the article that was over at Engadget up in the show notes. Hey, a new report out has found that U.S. and Canada have the most expensive cell phone plans. India and Hong Kong are the cheapest. Check this out. In Canada, the average or the minimum cost for a cell phone package is $67.50. In the United States, it's $59.99. In the UK, the minimum is $32.40. If you're in India, it's $12.90. Hong Kong, $13.50. Denmark, $39. Finland, $40.10. South Korea, $36.20. See, is Japan in the list? Yeah, it's they're $18.60. So again, continues to be that the United States and Canada are the most expensive places to have cell phones on the planet right now. Pretty crazy, isn't it? You would think that we would be competing with that, but I guess they figure, the rich Americans and Canadians, they can afford to spend all that money. But I know it can be very cheap to have a phone in some countries. Of course, it depends on the feature set that you have as well. Boy, oh boy, I've talked about HyperMac. Matter of fact, I got a HyperMac charger right down in my box here on the floor, along with the cable, the special cable used to charge not only the Xbox, but also the, not the Xbox, the iPad, but also be able to charge my MacBook Pro. Well, they got smacked for having, you know, that connector, that quick-release connector that's on the Macs. That's basically a patented item. And Apple has won an injunction against them. HyperMac announced that it will cease the sale of MacBook charging cables and car chargers on November 2nd at midnight. So if you have a HyperMac box and you need a cable, you better order one right now, okay? Now, there is some word that the folks at HyperMac and Sanho Corporation, who are the folks that have developed the HyperMac charger, is in the middle of licensing negotiations with Apple. So maybe this will be resolved. I can't imagine it not being resolved. I am sure that it will get resolved, and because you know they've spent a lot of money developing this product, and I'm sure they're just going to have to figure that licensing thing out with the folks over there at Apple. How many of you have heard of Kylo? How many of you have a media center? How many of you are using Microsoft Media Center? I know that I have a media center loaded on a couple of computers. I think it comes default now on almost all Windows machines. But Kylo is a plugin that I checked out today for the first time via an article over on makingwindowseasy.com that to me looks like the way to go. You load the browser and it just loads up all YouTube, Clicker, CBS, Vivo, NFL, ABC, Fox, CNN, and it categorizes it for you: TV, movies, music, news, sports, games, social, learning. This is a pretty cool browser to use with Windows Media Center. So definitely check this out, and it's a great way for you to really find a lot of content for Media Center. I have the link, of course, for you in the show notes. Hey, if you've got comments on tonight's show, the best way to reach me is send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline 24/7 at 619-342-7365. That's 619-342-7365. All right, how many of you are having trouble with your brand new Apple TV? Of course, Apple announced today that they have sold 250,000 of the $99.99 devices, And the biggest complaint everyone has is they're having problem with home sharing. I have yet to get it to work on my computers at home, or it just doesn't want to recognize anything. But if you do get it to work and you want to play your media on the Apple TV, the folks over at newtv.com have a pretty good tutorial here on how to convert your videos that you have on your computer for the new Apple TV. So I have this linked up in the show notes for you. A couple of them here I saw, there's a couple of programs out there. Miro Video Converter, this is available for Windows and OS 10, is pretty good. It does a good job. That's one consideration. But there's a lot of other ones out there, but this article is pretty inclusive, so I have a link up for you in the show notes. You know, Apple is about world domination. They're about control. They don't want to, you know, they don't want people straying too far from the nest and being able to do things on their devices where they're not getting paid. And what we're seeing now is an emergence of them wanting to control all video ads on the iPad. Apple is finding that the click-through rates for the iPad are higher than any of their other devices. For example, Android and an Android phone, and this is what blows me away. Check this out. If you have an Android, nearly 1% of you are clicking on ads that you see on your Android. For those of you that have iPhones, just a little bit above 1%. iPod Touch, almost 1.5% click-through rate. And with the iPad, people are clicking through about 2.2, 2.3% of the time. That's huge. That's huge, a number of click-throughs on ads on the device. So Apple obviously wants a taste there, wants to make sure that they control it. So they're starting to do a lot of things, putting software in place, and they're going to have ability to drop ads on video streams. And of course, I'm sure that's going to annoy all of us, but that's forthcoming, and they're racing to make sure that they continue to control the space. But some pretty interesting data in the article, and that is from newtv.com. All right, over on torrentfreak.com, major torrent sites have been down over the last couple of days because of attacks on hosting providers. There's been denial of service attacks on a variety of hosting servers, or one particular hosting provider. And I guess this one hosting provider called Reality Check Network has been under a major attack, and they're the host of four or five different BitTorrent sites. It must be a very BitTorrent-friendly company. So, anyway, these attacks have been taking place, I guess, ever since Saturday, and folks are still having trouble getting back online with them. So I don't know if you're using any specific sites. Torrent Funk is one of those that was down. Vertor.com, YourBitTorrent.com, TorrentHound.com, TorrentReactor.net, TorrentZap.com. See, a whole bunch of these, up to nine sites that have been affected by the attack. So I didn't know there was that many BitTorrent sites, to be honest with you. A little space news here. A Proton rocket successfully launched the latest spacecraft for satellite operator Sirius XM this Friday. And the Proton M lifted off from the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan at 2:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so they've launched the XM-5 satellite into a geostationary orbit. And so anyway, launching from Russia. I wonder why they're not using, I guess it must be cheaper than using American lift capability. Hey, Hubble has captured something pretty cool. Hubble has observed the aftermath of a possible asteroid collision, and it's the first time scientists have ever seen what appears to be initially like a comet that has an X shape. But they did a little more analysis on this, and they believe that the impact of two asteroids happened in 2009. Obviously, they feel the smaller asteroid was about 3 meters across, hitting a 120-meter across asteroid. And obviously, the 3-meter across asteroid lost, and its vaporization ended up being this nice X mark in the sky. So have a link up to that in the show notes for you. All right, we talked about Ozzy quitting. We're talking about Ray Ozzy. Ray Ozzy is Microsoft's chief software architect, and he is he's calling it quits. They announced that he is he's leaving. Steve Ballmer did this in an open letter to the company, and I guess Ray has filled the position of chief software architect. And I guess this unique role will not be filled when he's gone. So sounds like that Rayazi's had this special title. Obviously, his placement in the company is there for a reason. But he feels that the company is well enough on their cloud development that he doesn't need to continue to stay to manage that. But it's kind of interesting that we have another major personality from Microsoft that's leaving. Some of these guys, I'm sure, want to take some of that hard-earned money and go lounge a little bit, play some golf, and not have to work so hard. Boy, oh boy, Apple, they have just absolutely made some astounding news here over the last couple of days on basically their quarterly financial report. Largest increase in profitability of the company in a long time. I think it was like $20 billion. I didn't read through the whole press release. But Steve Jobs is hinting in the financial call that there's still a few surprises left this year for those of you that are Mac fans. So we'll see what happens with that. But analysts are pretty happy with the sales numbers. The only thing they weren't happy with, I guess, was the iPad numbers. The iPad numbers seem to be a little bit lower than they expected. But the iPad sales are dwarfing Mac sales. So that, I think, would maybe be a little bit of concern that because they have the iPad out, that maybe people are not buying as many laptops because of they don't really need one. So interesting to see how that will play out over time. And I'm sure this is something that a lot of these companies are probably a little bit worried about, because the profit margin on a iPad, which is, generally priced under $1,000, is probably a lot different on the profitability of a of a notebook. Do you guys hear that in the background? We got a train coming through. I'm about a quarter of a mile from a train track, and this guy is just doing nothing but blowing the horn all the way through town. I guess I just saw the engine go across the street down there. It's kind of fun to watch that, but that's something I have to worry about in Hawaii. I don't have to worry about no doggone trains. That's for sure. I see if folks are joining the Ustream chat. I see my mom is on. Hey, Mom. Good night. Good evening. And for anyone else on the Ustream stream, thanks for hanging out with us here. Okay, next thing is up is over on Paul Colligan's website at paulcolligan.com. He has some thoughts about Blog World and his take-homes from the event. And there was a few things that were said that, of course, Paul was in a lot of the sessions. I was stuck in a booth most of the time. But he starts it by saying that this post will not be anywhere near as critical as last year's post, because simply things have changed. We have grown up, are a bit more focused, are a lot less obsessed with the good old days, and are on our way to the truly awesome. A few thoughts. Now, I agree. There is not the pettiness and secrecy and, people, everyone was sharing. It was good. First thing on his takeaway says, there is no new media. Long live new media. So, Penn from Penn & Teller was there with Adam Carolla doing the last session, and basically Penn said there is no new media, and TV as we know it will change within 2 years. TV will not be the same as you know it. This is largely because what I've been sharing with you guys about internet connected TV. This is going to change everything. Second point, he says here is we've got friends with a little help to get by from. Oh, in other words, he says, I didn't hear a single person from any format or company afraid that someone would steal their ideas or techniques. The sharing and mastermind of thousands at this event was off the chart, and it's something you should be striving for at all costs. If you're trying to sell your boss on this next year, forget pushing anything but this simple statement. The best of the best are there, and they're willing to help. That's true. The best of the best were there. That I do have a little bit, with a little bit of bravado in that statement. He says Blog World does need to provide a better big picture. He says, we're writing a future, we're learning from the best, and we're leaving Vegas with more actionable knowledge than we ever thought was possible. Yet I saw too many people confused as to what sessions were for them and where they should be at any given time. So that probably is true. And the last statement he makes here, bonus, here's a killer idea for a party next year. And now this one here, and I've said this for 2 years in a row, Blog World needs the parties. And of course, we don't want to begrudge that, but one needs to be designed a bit more for the social and a bit less for the party. In other words, we don't need music at 115 decibels where we often scream at each other to talk to one another. Someone took a video of me doing a little bit of dancing at one of the parties. I guess that's up on Blip somewhere. And you know who you are, Jeffrey. Don't worry. Paybacks there will be a penalty for that. I'm saying that jokingly. But he says, imagine the buzz a party would get where deals were inked, partnerships made, and futures created. In short, making talking and networking a bigger focus than the music. I agree, because, you know, we're all there to meet one another and talk and share, and it's tough. It's tough when the music's 115 dB and you see somebody you want to talk to and you're trying to scream in their ear. It just sucks. It really does, and they have not learned this yet. They have not, and they need to fix that for another future year. All right, enough on the Blog World review, and Paul had some good comments. I'll have my own up on my website in a couple of days. Hey, over on Scoble's website, he's got an article here that says, screw the super angels. We need a super user collusion table at Bin 38. He says, I'm tired of hearing about about people talking about collusion, exit strategies, monetization strategies, gamification strategies. He says, how boring. He says, when I was on stage at TechCrunch Disrupt, I had to sit through this kind of talk. Look at the sessions from the first day. It's all about adding gaming systems to the web. What did they talk about? Please, pleasing investors. We're selling hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of pleasing brands. We can help brands get, you know, basically he says, gag me with the spoon. I'm sick of hearing this stuff. He says, at what point do we start having super user collusion? In other words, where we all get together as super users and say, we want this. This is what we want. You know, he says, when I talk with audiences that have lots of VCs and VIPs in them, like I did last week at Rackspace SaaS event or the week before at the Vader Splash, I ask them, how many new apps have they tried on their phones? He said, only 5% of those audiences have tried more than 100 apps. So here's these guys, here's these VCs and VIPs who have tried less than 100 apps. How do they know what's innovative? It's just amazing. It really is. He says, just look at Google. There are 3.1 million results for super angels, but there's only 298,000 results for super users. So interesting discussion by Robert. He's basically saying we need to have, more input from the users back to these companies on what to create and make for us. Over on BoyGeniusReport.com, next Apple iPhone Verizon model hits AP field test. Apparently, this new iPhone that is being tested for Verizon does have a place for a card. So, in other words, that means it's definitely going to be CDMA capable. If it needs a SIM card, also possible for global roaming capabilities as well. So, supposedly version 3.2 is in step to be released at the end of the year. New antenna design and so forth. So we'll see what happens with this potential iPhone for Verizon. How many of you have read over the weekend or over the last or today about this all about the pointing fingers again at Facebook on privacy? Boy, I tell you, if you'd read the Wall Street Journal that I'll have linked to in the show notes, you would have thought that the folks at Facebook had created a federal crime and that the whole company should be locked up. But what is really going on there is that when you're using different apps on Facebook, it's passing. It has to pass some identifying information about you to the app, user ID, and some additional stuff that you generally agree to when you start to play the app. He says, the folks at TechCrunch say, is this really a problem? He says, the only real concern is that all that data can be tied to you doing something with a third-party app. So in addition to your profile information, the database also gets to know that you like Farmville or whatever app that you're in. But, you know, this is something that's goes way beyond Facebook. This is a World Wide Web issue. You don't think that the IP that you have and the cookies stored on your computer are not calling home to mama and letting them know where you're surfing and where you're going and how long it's been since you visited and so forth? You know, unless you're running a whole bunch of software to clear all that stuff out every day, those little cookies and different stuff that you're using to log into websites are doing a lot of tracking. They really, really are. All right, let's talk about something really more serious, and this is about the IPv4 space. Well, they think that the IPv4 address blocks, this is in other words, the IPs that are assigned to the regional providers, which then are distributed down to companies like GoDaddy and everyone else who needs IPs for services, telephone services, you know, your mobile device, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're down to just a few blocks of addresses left. Now, each block holds 16,777,216 addresses. And we are down to about only having 4.7% of those left. So there's the number that have been used in just the first half of this year are a lot more than what they think. So they're thinking right now that they are going to run out of blocks in as little as 18 months. Now, the only folks that have a lot of blocks left are the African NIC. So they've got a lot left, but there is just you know, a mass, not a lot left. So right now, for example, it looks to me, looking at the count, there's about 58, 57, that's 200, 290, about 240 million IPs left before they run out. So they're still saying mid next year before they are completely out of IP addresses. So there's going to be a big issue here come next year when we have to really get hot and heavy on IPv6, which really fixed this, but there's a lot of compatibility issues. All right, I'm going to point you towards a link that's over on TechDirt. It's about a video done by a band that had their instrument stolen in New York. There's a band called Atomic Tom that did a rendition of one of their songs called Take Me Out. They did it on the New York City subway using nothing but iPhones and plugins that mimicked instruments. When you see this, I think you're going to be impressed. I'll have a link up for you in the show notes to check out this link courtesy of the folks over at TechDirt. Hey, imagine that you get your backpack stolen, your laptop's in it, your credit cards, your wallet, your camera, everything. You know, really, your digital life is ripped off. Anyway, I tell you, it scares me to death when I travel. I keep a death grip on my laptop, actually in my computer bag, and you know, that's my biggest worry about ever losing my computer bag, my laptop, and really my digital life inside that bag. So, a professor at some university had that happen to him, and they actually, the thief, did something very unique. He booted the computer up. He took all this individual's personal data and dropped it onto a USB. And he put the USB stick along with everything else that was in the bag back on the guy's porch at his house. He kept the computer, but he sent the data and all the other stuff, his credit cards, his, you know, all that stuff went back. So imagine stealing something. And then, you know, this was, I guess, for a better word, this was a thoughtful thief. He must have been a geek. You know, only a nerd would do that, not some crackhead. It was some nerd that was broke, that needed a laptop. He stole this poor man's laptop, then took all of his information out of it and gave him everything back. He gave him his library card back and, you know, just But you think about that for a second. I guess that was what do you call that, a courteous thief? That returned this guy's data. You know, I think the professor should probably be pretty thankful. Really, if he did went to all that trouble, you know, probably he doesn't have to worry about identity theft. Just somebody needed a new laptop. All right, check this out. We know that China steals everything. If they can't build it on their own, they use corporate espionage or whatever means possible to really steal ideas and then remake it as their own. You know, this is well known. It happens in the space. But apparently, by the direction of the administration, NASA Administrator Charles Bolden left for Beijing on October 15th amid what they're saying is mixed congressional reaction. He's going to China to discuss the potential for cooperation in human spaceflight. He's on a 5-day trip and to raise the possibility of joint rescue capability, joint lift capability, and a variety of other joint type of ventures. You know, here you have a country. Can you imagine doing a IP exchange, in other words, intellectual property exchange that has been paid for by the United States government and the taxpayers of this country, and going to China to share with them information? You know, how stupid are we going to be? You know, this is just, you know, I don't know. I'm opposed to this. Now, if they're just, if it's for joint rescue, if they share with them information on the docking ring or whatever, okay, I can kind of get that. But that's still technology that we've paid for that they haven't. And just, I don't know, it bothers me a little bit. It really, really does. Knowing their history and how much of that stuff can be reverted to defense use. You know, obviously, anytime you share intellectual property when it comes to the space program, you know, it definitely has the potential to make it into DOD projects, which ultimately could impact American lives. Now, we know we've done stuff with the Russians for a while. But generally, the Russians have had their own, you know, they've had their act together themselves. We didn't have to provide them intellectual property to put man in space. You know, they've been able to do that on their own a long time. Matter of fact, in the very early days, remember, they beat us. They beat us by putting a man in orbit. So the Chinese, I don't know. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on sharing intellectual property with the Chinese. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, Space Station Life has its ups and downs. Pretty good article here about Miss Dyson, who was on the International Space Station, returned to Earth on September 25th, and talked about the mission that they had and how she was involved in fixing the cooling pump that went bad and the ups and downs of being on flight. Pretty good article here. Talking about basically the high moments of being able to look out the window and the low points where you're in a crisis mode trying to fix things. So little insight into, wouldn't it be nice just to have an astronaut on and be able to pick their brain for a long time? There's a lot of questions I would like to ask astronauts. You know, it'd be kind of, women would have a very unique perspective on staying in space long time too. It would be interesting to have a chat with her at some point. So I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could get connected to having a chat with her. She'd be great to have on one of the Saturday morning tech shows. Hey, runaway zombie satellite Galaxy 15 continues to pose interference threat. Boy, oh boy, this thing just doesn't want to shut itself down. And they figure maybe December yet, but they're still rerouting satellites and dealing with different... you know, signal interference issues, just all kinds of stuff going on here. But this thing's still basically run away out of control. And at this point, they feel the worst, that they're never going to be able to recover this thing. But we'll see. They think they're, but they do say there's a small window of opportunity where they can reset the transponder once it actually, basically the solar rays get out of alignment of the sun and the battery dies, they've got a way that they can do like a hard restart. And I think they've got one chance maybe here to recover that satellite. But at this point, no go. Hey, check this out. Over on the Daily Galaxy, at www.dailygalaxy.com, there was some questions posted to some pretty heavy hitter scientific folks. Here's a deep thought question of the day they asked. He says, does a 1.5 giga year ET civilization exist? Starts off by saying, did our 4.5 billion year old solar system exist in a universe that is estimated to be between 13.5 and 14 billion years old? And experts believe that there could be advanced civilizations out there that have existed for 1.8 giga years, or 1 giga year equals 1 billion years. And the question is, what do you think? Now, before I'm actually going to go into this, but I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Do you think there's any civilizations that have been able to last a billion years? And if they did, obviously you know what they are on the mentality. They're probably not even human bodies or any type of flesh body anymore. But, you know, could any planet or planet solar systems support a civilization that was a billion years old would be my question. But anyway, that's a deep thought of the question of the day from the folks at the Daily Galaxy at dailygalaxy.com. And love to hear your guys' feedback on whether or not you think there are any civilizations out there that would be a billion years old. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, or geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, over on androidcentral.com, there's an update with Google Voice. Google Voice has been updated to allow searches of voicemail, transcripts, and text messages, so that's pretty cool. So an update to Google Voice for those of you that are on the Android platform. And also, now that we've talked three or four articles about space, there's an Android quick app that's called Satellite Flyby. So it takes your location, your time zone, and it tells you when something's going to be passing overhead and when to look for it. So I have this link up in the show notes. That's a cool one. That'd be a cool one to have. And the last article for tonight is one from Don Dodge at dondodge.typepad.com talking about first mover versus fast follower and who wins. And they really is about tech companies out there. If you look at Alta Vista, they were available long before Google was, but Google came on and just blew them away. Obviously, Napster started off. That kind of transitioned to iTunes, but Napster was really killed, right? So they didn't stand a chance. How about VisiCalc? Lotus 1-2-3, then on to Excel, WordPerfect. How many of you remember that? Oh my goodness! And all the command lines you needed to know, which obviously got beat out. Excuse me, by Word. How about Netscape in the early days that really got smacked by Internet Explorer, or better yet, the Apple Newton, which really kind of transitioned to the Palm Pilot, to the BlackBerry, and now to the iPhone. So you know, kind of come full circle there. You know, Apple Newton. Got beat by Palm, BlackBerry beat Palm, and now the iPhone. So we're, you know, this is a looping thing here. So he goes on and on. He gives multiple examples about this and talks about how companies continue to need to move the ball forward. If they don't, they're going to get squashed. And that's one of the things I've tried to do with Raw Voice is we need to continue to keep the ball moving forward. And there's some good lessons to be learned in that article from any of you that are doing a business, starting a business, or thinking about, starting something, something to keep your eyeball on, because you might be in this nice, happy comfort zone and all dumb, fat, and happy, and then all of a sudden someone just goes by at 180 miles per hour, and the next thing you know, you're out of business. So some good stuff there by Don Dodge. All right, kind of a quick show tonight. We're at 53 minutes. Normally, I don't hit this mark until about an hour, so I hope you guys don't mind the little bit shorter show tonight, but it's just... I'm serious. I'm still dragging. The bed over there behind me is saying, come to me. Come to me. Oh, man. Anyway, here's some emails and over the last week while I've been out gallivanting around. I got an email from Jim, and this is in response to the lawsuit for with Apple against Hypermac. And thanks for sending that over, Jim. Of course, we talked about during the show. Got an email from Chris about the having a promo code fail, and Chris, again, I hope my explanation in the beginning helps. We've got to look at your attached image file there. So see if I can figure out why the code did not work. Alex, you'll be definitely getting an insider, and I'll make sure you get links to all the previous insider content as well. Got an email here from Frank, and this is again another article about the Lower Merion School District laptop spying case. And about a boy, I read this op-ed that was in the Guardian. Oh man, they just come unglued on these folks. Worthy a read for sure. Jeremy, you sent me an email to show me a speed test. He said, "Hey Todd, this is from a new IHOP in Macon, Georgia." I was shocked. Of course, he was on Wi-Fi, and he was able to get a iPhone. Get this, an iPhone speed test. Download 12.41 megs per second, upload 5.95 megs per second, ping of 100 microseconds. You know, Jeremy, that was in an IHOP in Macon, Georgia. I think I'm going to, like, I know what the some places I go, there's IHOPs. I'm going to go start hanging outside of an IHOP and see if they all have this kind of bandwidth. 12.41 down and 5.95 meg up. Wow. I need some of that action at my house. I really, really do. So thanks for providing that. Got a response from Jeffrey Ramsey, one of the longtime listeners. So, "Hey, Todd, thanks for the mention." He said, "My health is so bad that I'm not supposed to be alive. I don't think I can catch up on all your podcasts I've missed." Don't worry, Jeffrey. You don't have to. Just listen to him when you can. He goes on talking about his health concerns that he has. And he says, "I wish," he goes on to say later, he says, "I wish they would get that more disabled would work. Thank you for your time. Look forward to new tech and teaching." And so anyway, thanks Jeffrey for that. And you know, stay strong, my friend, and I hope that the doctors you're currently seeing are able to help you out more. Got an email here. Oh, if you guys didn't get to go to Blog World, but you want to listen to the sessions, you can buy all of the sessions. They have a session package, or you can buy individual sessions as well for a price. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. Got an email from Bree, one of our very longtime listeners of the show. She says, "Hey Todd, this is from Government Computer News." She goes on to say, "Hunting moon rocks with a mobile phone. NASA and Gowalla team to create a scavenger hunt game." And this is using Gowalla to hunt for moon rocks. And she says, and this article talks about that. And she goes on to say, "And even more interesting to me, further on down the same page is this: are the moon rocks real?" She says, "There is a conspiracy theory arguing that the Apollo moon landings were faked, staged, and filmed with special oil." We know that. But that was on a GCN.com website. I'll have that linked up. Thanks, Bree, for that. It's kind of a weird one, yeah? For sure. Hey, George asking about the podcast awards. I already talked about that at the beginning of the show. We'll be announcing a nomination date here in the next couple of days. Got an email from Johnny. He says, "Hey, Todd, I just want to start by saying I want you to know that how totally thrilled I am with what just happened. My website, which houses my podcast, widescreen.org, was up for renewal in February 2011, but I also have a few websites still registered with Network Solutions. Every year, Network Solutions wants $35 to renew the domain for a local business whose website I still manage, but I just renewed widescreen.org for 9 years at GoDaddy, and with the code Aloha, I got the whole renewal for only $60. He says that's less than 2 years of what Network Solutions would charge for a 9-year renewal. And then you were the one who got me to switch widescreen.org to GoDaddy because you gave me a gift certificate. You have to get my podcast started a few years ago. I know that you like to hear good GoDaddy stories where GNC is involved, and I wanted to pass that along and thank you for it. So on another note, any kind of podcasting conferences in the Harrisburg area would be great. We're only 2 hours from Baltimore, Philly, and Scranton, New York City, and Pittsburgh, about 3.5 hours away, but it's a straight shot on highways from the booth, from both. So you should be able to pull from all those markets in one location. Just a thought. Okay, an excuse to hopefully meet you in person someday. You know, they do have podcasting sessions. There was just one in Pittsburgh. A podcast Boston was going on. Obviously, I was not there. But, yeah, I agree. Maybe it's time for Raw Voice maybe to have a East Coast full-on new media type of event as well. We actually kind of talked about that a little bit. So maybe at some point we'll do one on our own, something that would just be a real hardcore fire hose type of event, or maybe we even do some online stuff. We don't know, but potential in the future, or even out on the West Coast as well. Okay, got an email here from Derek. He says, "Hey, great picture link for you. What is this? Let me bring this up. Oh, it's a lightning strike. Thanks for that, Derek. Definitely appreciate it. And Julie, thank you for volunteering for help, wanting to help. I think that's it for email, folks. We're going to wrap up here right at the top of the hour. Isn't that cool? I like it. Gets me wrapped up much quicker for the evening. So, anyway, we've had had a great week out in Vegas, and I'm glad to be here in Central Texas for a few days. I'll be doing Thursday show from here as well. Then I'll be flying home on Friday, and then I'll be home just a short week. I fly out Saturday night for my 23-day trip, so I'm not really looking forward to that long of a trip. But it's just one of those things that I've signed up for, and I'm going to do. But here we're going to have another show here, and then two shows in Hawaii. Ann McCaskey has received the TriCaster that was in my studio. I'm still waiting on a delivery date for the new 850, but I'm hopeful that that's going to come through pretty soon. Probably be there while I'm on travel, which will suck. So I have to learn that thing around the Thanksgiving holiday. But a great way to spend a weekend, right? When they're supposed to be doing family stuff, not. Anyway, if you got comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. For those of you that are up on Ustream, I'm going to hang out here for a little bit afterwards if you want to chat a little. But thanks for being subscribed, everyone. And have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone, take care and aloha.